Hey, Vavam and Bez by the two dots. And then we're going to go through the Seder of what happened leading up from the time they came to Midbar Sinai until the Nesina Sotara. Tanur Rabbanan. B'shisha b'chedesh nitno aser sadibris l'ri Yisrael. So Tanakama says that the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. Rabbi Yosef Mer b'shiva boi. Rabbi Yosef says the Torah was given on the seventh day of Sivan. So Amar Rava. The kol yam of Rosh Chedesh also the Midbar Sinai. Nobody argues that the Kaisel arrived in Midbar Sinai, that was Rosh Chedesh. Why? It says over here, Hocha, Ksiv Hocha, B'yam HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai, which is Perek Yotes, Kapitel Yotes, Pasuk Aleph. B'yam HaZeh Bo, B'chadosh HaShlishi, B'yam HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai. And Rashi over here actually brings from the Argamor, which says that was Rosh Chedesh. So how do we know it was Rosh Chedesh? Because it says, B'yam HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai, Ksiv Hosam, HaChedesh HaZeh Lochem, Rosh Chedoshim. So Chedesh is Elochem Rosh Chedesh. So uses the word Hazeh, so we learn Hazeh from over there, where that was Rosh Chedesh Nissan, some of the Halim Rosh Chedesh. Avkam Rosh Chedesh, just like over there, it was referring to Rosh Chedesh. So we're also with Rosh Chedesh. That's number one. Number two, Rabbi says, the Kuliyama B'Shabbos in the Torah of Yisrael. The Torah was given on Shabbos. So the day of the week that they received Torah was Shabbos. Why? It says, "Siv Hocha Zechar Yom Shabbos LeKatcher." Siv Hosam Yom Mishalom Zechar is a Yom Seb. So, by the Sefer Neivos, it says, "Zechar Yom Shabbos LeKatcher," and it says, "By V'Yisis Mitzrayim," Moshe told the Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim, "Zechar is a Yom Seb." Now, Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that mitzvah, Malahalim Bitzuma Shayyam, they were told about Yitzis Mitzrayim on the day of Yitzis Mitzrayim. So over here also, Avkan Bitzuma Shayyam, when they were told about Zechar Yom Shabbos Lekatcha, remember this day, they were standing on Yom Shabbos and being told about Shabbos. So what is the argument then? Whether it's six or seven, ki pligi b'kavir d'yarchu. What they're arguing about is how did the days of the month correspond to the days of the week? What day was the Rosh Chodesh set to be? Rishi Sover b'chad b'shabbos b'shabbos ikri yarchu. The Rosh Chodesh was on Yom Rishon on Sunday. And the Chum are going to understand that Rosh Chodesh was on Yom Sheni on Monday. So according to Rabbi Yossi, so Yom Rishon was Aleph, so Shabbos, which is when the Torah was given, is Yom Zayin. According to the Chabim, that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, so Monday is Aleph of the Chodesh, so Shabbos, when the Torah was given, was only the sixth of the month. And according to the Chabim, it took 6 days to get to the Sinas of Torah. According to Rabbi Yossi, it took 7 days to get to the Sinas of Torah. Okay, so now the Mordechai is going to go through the calculation according to Rabbi Yossi. V'chav Shabbat lo yomer lehu v'lamidi. So they arrived on Rosh Chodesh. But on Rosh Chodesh, no mitzvahs or no communications of a Kodesh Baruch Hu were told to Klal Yisrael. Mishum chul shel d'orcha, they were just arrived and they were weak from the trip, and the Roshim did not give any message to Klal Yisrael at that point in time. So in Pasuk Gimel says Moshe went up to the har, and Bereshit tells him, this is what you should tell Klal Yisrael. This is in Pasuk Gimel, Kesemar leBeis Yaakov, Pasuk Dalat Tamrisem, Pasuk Hey, Atosh im Shemay Tishmu beKarli, and Pasuk Vav, Batem Tili Mamlechus Kainim beGay Kadosh. So that was the communication which Moshe Rabbeinu went up in the morning, and he was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu this communication, And he comes back down on the second day of Sivan, and he tells us the Klal Yisrael, and that's Pasuk Zayin. We remember Moshe Yikrul as Ikhnei Ha'om. We also it's a Ham is called Dibur Ma'ila Shet Tivo Hashem. And then Vayanu Kol Ha'om Yachdu Vayemru Kol Hashem Pasuk Ches. The Klal Yisrael says whatever Rishon says we're Nasa we're going to do. Vayoshe Moshe Shet Dibur Ha'om El Hashem. So when was that? So Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Shlishi. And responds back and tells this message to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He goes up on Sheni, comes down on Sheni, and tells Klal Yisrael this message. Klal Yisrael responds that Kol Hashem Dibur Hashem Naaseh, and Moshe Rabbeinu transmits that reply to Kodesh Baruch Hu when he goes up on Yom Shlishi. The Tlosa Omer Lahu Mitzvah Hagbal, the Mor says that then the Baruch Hu tells Moshe. And Yom Shlishi, Pasuk Yud Beis, he bowed to his Om Saviv Lemor, he shamed Lachem Alis Bahar Nagar Bekutseyu, called the Gay Bahar Yom Mashi Mos, and Pasuk Yud Gimel, you get sick of a yod. Okay. So he's told Mitzvah Hagbola on Yom Shlishi, he told Mitzvah Hagbola on Yom Shlishi. Ba'arba Obed Prisha. Now, then on the fourth day, which according to the basis calculation would comes out to be the day four of the month, it's also day four of the week, is the psukim of Pasuk Yud that Moshe Rabbeinu tells, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, tell the Om, ki dasham hayom ha-machar, v'kib sim l'som, v'hayu nechonim l'yam ha-shlishi, ki v'yam ha-shlishi, hi yirad Hashem Allah, ilenei kolam al har Sinai. So the mitzvah prisha from the husband, the separation between husband and wife, was told to Moshe, and Moshe gave it to Klal Yisrael on Yom Revi. Now the Psukim, Rashi touches on the fact that the Psukim are out of order, right? The Psukim are that the way the Mor is presenting it. So Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph were only given to him in Revi, and Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel were given to him in Yom Shlishi. Okay, so Rashi will touch on that. That's Rav Yossi. Rabbanan Sabri, Rabbanan, however, have the calculation Betrei B'Shabbat Ikra Yarcha. So they only, the Rosh Chodesh was only on, they came to Armin Bar Sinai on Betrei B'Shabbat on the second day of the week. Betrei B'Shabbat Lo'yam Lo'bul Amidi Mishim Chul Shad Orcha. They agree that not, that Kaisel was not given any communications on Yom Rish on Rosh Chodesh. Then Betlosa on the third day of the week, which is the second day of Sivan, Amar Lahu Batemti Yaliv, they told the Pasuk all through Gimel through Vav. Barbo on the fourth day of the week, which is now Yom Shlishi, Amar Lahu Mitzvah Hagbola. So they're told Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Kimmel. Behei, on the fifth day of the week, which is Dalad Sivan, Abed Prisha, they're given the mitzvah's Prisha, which is Pasuk Test through Yud Aleph, and then Vaiter, Pasuk Yud Aleph says that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Am, Mekadesh as Am, Mekhaim Susim Lusom, and Moshe told them in Pasuk Test Vav, you should be ready for three days, I'll take surely sure. And that's that took place on Dalet Sivan, which was the fifth day of the week. So the machlokes before that we had between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, whether the amount of time of that it took from the Mrs. Prisha till Nesina Satara, was it from Yom Revi until Shabbos, or from Yom Chamishi until Shabbos? The machloek, really, this is really the root of the machloek, is their calculations of exactly how everything took place. And from there we're going to now, machloek is how many, learn out the halachas of Pulat Teshich Vezera, how many earnest is Pulat Teshich Vezera. So we paskin Pulat Teshich Vezera is six earnest shleimis, which the Mor says only goes like Rabbi Yossi. So we have to hold that B'Zayin Nitna Torah. That's what has to come out, because the only way it's going to work out is if the Parisha started on Yom Revi'i, which means Rosh Chodesh was on Yom Aleph, and everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos, so it means the Torah was given on Zion. So if we pass in that Gimel Vav Oynei Shleimus, which is why we keep our calculations we pass in Vav Oynei Shleimus, so that's going to come out to be Shabbos. How do we know we pass in Vav Oynei Shleimus? That's passing, it's passing in Halacha, because the reason Fatah Shech Vazera has an application, even though I told you really doesn't apply, it's not a prohibition between husband and wife, it has one place where it affects husband and a wife. Not just Hilchos Tumah Tahara, and that one situation is when a woman is in her Shiva Nikiyim, if she's Paletah Shech Vazera, she loses the day. So Paletah Shech Vazera will cause her to lose that day of her calculation. It doesn't break the whole 7 days, but it makes her lose the day. Her clean day. So if a woman has dam during a clean day, she has to start counting her 7 days over. She needs 7 clean days consecutively. So if day 5 she has dam, so she starts over again. She doesn't have 7 consecutive days. A woman is Paletah Shech Vazera, so she would lose the day. Now, how do you have a woman with Paletah Shech Vazera during Shiva Nikiyim? Shiva Nikiyim only is a woman who does Zava Gedolah. What's a Zava Gedolah? So the woman's cycle for Nidus works like this. There's 2 dinim in a woman who either cheeky, either be a Nida or a Zava. So a woman gets her period. This is the way the Rival learns. Not the Rama has a different way of understanding it. The Rival's way is much easier. A woman gets her period. That's day one of her cycle for halacha. And Nida, whether she sees dam or not, doesn't see dam. She's tummy for 7 days. She can keep seeing dam the whole 7 days. As long as at the end of the 7th day, before sunset, she stops seeing dam, she becomes, her nida ends at the end of the 7 days. She goes to the mikvah the night of the 8th, and she's mutter. That's the rice. That's a nida. Now starts the period of time, which is called the Yud Aleph Yom, which we discussed before. There's now 11 days, which during the 11 days, if she sees dam, she becomes not a nida, but a zava. That's called Beloy Es Nidasa, not during time of her nidus. So starting from day 8 through day 18, if she sees dam, so her status is not nida, her status is zava. She sees dam one day, she's called Shemeres Yom Kereged Yom. Shemeres Yom Kereged Yom, she's tummy one day. So for argument's sake, she sees dam on day 9. So she's tummy day 9 and day 10. In day 10, she's being shemeres yom, she's being shemer to see if she will see dam. She can go to the mikvah by day, but if she does go to the mikvah by day and she sees dam afterwards, so that makes her lose the day. So we had discussion before, that makes it mafreya, is it mafreya mekan labo, right? But mafreya, she's temeya, let's say that, but simple to understand, mafreya, she's temeya, the Mishnah is over there, Nida. Mafreya, she's temeya, and it was not a valid tevila. So had she been with her husband during that time, the chazal called, even though she right now she didn't see any dam, she went to the mikvah. So more calls the husband who does that, a person who tries to take things too quickly because it might eventually later on the day it might blow. By the end of the day, she's tahara. Let's say she does see dam again on day 10. So she's seen dam day 9 and day 10. So she has to be sure meris the next day. If she sees dam on day 11, now she's a zava gedolah. The zava gedolah needs 7 clean days. So a zava, I want to point out, while she's in the status of zava, she's also to her husband. So even in the zava katana, which is a shemeres yom kenegad yom, she's also to her husband for that day. So day 9 she saw, she can't have relations with her husband on day 9 anymore, and day 10 so she goes to the mikvah. It's not a good idea even after she goes to the mikvah, because maybe she might see dam later on and that'll work retroactively. Okay, but now day 11 she's seen 3 days in a row, she's a zava gedolah, she needs 7 clean days till she comes mutter to her husband. And a zava, by the way, even on day 7 she can go to the mikvah by day. But again, she has a problem. She sees dam afterwards. It works retroactively. She didn't have seven clean days, and the tefillah was not valid. So our women do both. They keep seven clean days, and they go to the mikvah by night. So they're dealing with herself as if they're a nida, which goes to the mikvah only by night. They're dealing with herself as if they're a zava, which could go to the mikvah by day. That's why in certain cases where we're making for women, if necessary, she can go by day, certain kulas. But they keep seven clean days. They keep seven clean days. Now, our women keep seven, because why do they do that? Because keeping the calculation of when this is during a period of nida, a period of zava, it's confusing. So they themselves, the Mora says, took upon themselves to keep a status of a zava gedolah, even if they only saw one day. Now, if they only saw one day, it's impossible to be a zava gedolah. It's impossible. Zava gedolah requires 3 days. But they didn't want to get involved in keeping. They have 1 day, 3 days. What? Right. So you don't need 7 clean days by definition. But they said, you know what? They don't want to get involved in that. And the Chumrah gave approval for their decision. Moshe's Benoit Shishol made this Chumrah, and the Chumrah gave their stamp of approval. And this now becomes a law. So let's go back to our scenario. So here, the woman sees on day 9. So let's our argument say she sees on day 9. 5 shkias will make easy shkias. 6 o'clock. 5 o'clock, she sees Dan. Well, at 4 o'clock, she had relations with her husband. Okay? Then she sees again on day 10. And she sees again on day 11, sometime during the day. So she starts counting her 7 clean days the night of 12. But remember, it's 6 full oinas, 72 hours. So from her first re'i on day 9 at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, she had relations with her husband at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Right, so 24 hours takes you to day 10, 4 o'clock. Another 24 hours takes you to day 11 at 4 o'clock. Another 24 hours takes you to day 12 at 4 o'clock. So she starts counting her clean days the night of 12, but if she's Pelet HaShech Mezera, the morning of 12, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon of 12, it blows the day. So we said, you know what, I have a better idea. Don't start counting after 3 days. Wait 4 days before you start counting. So that's what the Sfaradim do. The Sfaradim wait 4 days. This way you'll never have a problem with Pelet HaShech Mezera. Ashkenazim wait 5 days. And they wait 5 days because of, there's theoretically a case where you have, you'd see Banish Moshes, and it's possible a case where it'll be the 5th day of the calculation, even though it'll be only 72 hours of time. So, it's because you deal with, remember 5 days doesn't mean 5 full days, it means 5 days, halachic days. You know, the end of the day counts for a day. The last minute of the day counts for a day. So she had relations like Banish Moshes, so you're going to be makra, maybe the Bria was the day before. She saw day 9 at 6 o'clock, but she had relations at 5:59. So it's all Banish Moshe's time. So we don't know how to calculate it. So theoretically, it might be, you'll count the Riyah as day 9, but maybe really it was really day 10, and really Tashas was day 10 also. So if you start counting on day 12, maybe really it's a day, whatever, I don't get involved in it. But that's the idea. So the concept of Pelet HaShech Mezera place a halacha in regards to our calculations. So why do we wait 3 days? Because we passed in 6 anishlemas. Because we passed like Rabbi Yossi. So the Magen Avraham and Siman Tov Sadi Dal says, how do we know we passed like Rabbi Yossi? Because we passed in 6 anishlemas. That's why. How do we know that? Because that's the halacha. We can't count for 5 days before a woman starts going counting her 7 clean days. Because we pass in like 6 anishlemas, which means we have to pass in the Torah's given on Zion. And his famous kasha is, I mean, in Eretz Yisrael, they only keep 1 day Shavuos on Vav Sivan. So it's pretty strange that they celebrate Vav Sivan and the Torah is given on Zion. That's his kash. I was all this guy just had one kash. Okay, but again, right. Okay. Yeah, but even if that's true, you see from the whole system that they're not getting involved in women keeping calculating. They're saying, "Well, we will make it as uncomplicated as possible. If you keep 5 and you keep 7, you're clearly clean, right? That's like the guaranteed." There are certain cases where you have women who have problems with ovulation, you know, they have early ovulation, etc. There's certain coolers ways you can get to a FOIA. There's, you know, so you can't, we don't shorten the 7 days, but we can shorten the calculation of the 5 days. Sometimes we'll make it on four. Adam Sulim, a woman, will make it on four. You know, there's cases where you make a little, you know, but okay. What? Pick up 1 day. Or, no, there's one of the cases.
You mean shorten the day.
You gain one more day. Now, there is one example where you don't, it's on the gale. Let's say a woman during her seven clean days has not, she obviously had not had relations with her husband recently. By the time she got to that, she'd been a needle for at least, so then you don't have to wait any days. Because the whole reason why you wait is because the paletashik was there. Right? There's no reason she obviously not going to be paletashik was there because she didn't have relations. So there's no reason to wait. That's why a woman can see Dam on day five and start making no hefsek on day five and start counting day six as her day one. Immediately. So the Pesachim deal with the situation. A woman had early ovulation, but she didn't have a long... Now, nowadays, many women, you know, the problem is it's not okay anyway because their actual flow of Dam is more than 3-4 days anyway. So until they're able to actually make a valid hefsek, it takes 5 days anyway. Let's say you have a woman who theoretically could do it in 3 days. In Europe, they were very, very regular. You know, used to be, you know, I mean, talking about, you know, even, you know, 80 years ago, it was very common women, the periods were quicker and they were much more regular. Some theories are because of the there's a lot more strength, physical work, and apparently it set a different cycle on the body. You know, you listen to my mother-in-law describe making, you know, she described making bread, you know. It's like, you would be totally exhausted by the end of the day. I mean, I mentioned to you one time, right? First, you had to draw the water. You go to take the water from the well. And the wood already had chopped. It says, but they couldn't, they heated their oven, and they baked. It wasn't worthwhile to heat the oven to bake, you know, every single day. It was a waste. So you do it one day, you'd bake for the whole week. It was a large family. They needed 2 foot of dough to make enough bread for the week. A foot was 10 kilo. It was 20 kilo. They would need 20 kilo of flour by hand. My mother-in-law, she's 15 years old, need, you know, 44 pounds of dough by hand. And they would bake the whole day. A flour, 40 pounds of flour. And then you had the water. They baked all the bread for the whole week. And then, you know, she said you'd put it ahead of the brick oven, and you would put the things over there. It looked like your matzah oven. So they used to kasher it out, you know. You put the things over here, and you bake over here, and then you move it to the other side, and you bake on the other side, because the bricks were hot. So you have the brick, and you have the heat from the... And they keep going back and forth the whole day doing that, and they make challah also. Challah, you add a little more... You take, set some aside, and you add a little more oil, and that was the challah, you know. You know? And now, and at the end of the week, the bread was 7 days old. So, you know, that took a whole day. But, you know, you can imagine, you know, I don't... To this day, my mother's 86 years old, could have an order. She still needs 5 pounds of dough by hand. You know? So they're very regular. So we had one which took 3 days, and she had early ovulations. So we said, Kabbalah, we can get her to do 3 days, we can get her to early ovulation. So the eights of the person is, they would skip a month going to the mikvah. So she didn't have to wait, except for her 5 days anymore. So next month, when she would have a Riyah, she only had to wait her 2 days that it took for her flow. And she started counting as 7 clean days after day two. She went to mikvah on day 9.
That's an advantage.
Because her ovulation was on day 10.
No, I get that part, but I'm saying the other month that she skipped, I mean, had a set.
So she didn't go to mikvah, but the next month she was able to have a kid.
No, but I think the question is, what's the gain? Skipping a month changes what?
That since she didn't have relations with her husband, so there's no dinner plate to check with Zara. You don't have to wait this stuff 5 days. Right, so you gain your 5 days. So you only have to wait till you can make your hefsek as soon as you stop having dam.
What's the earliest man on this
table? I use the earliest man on there.
Which is, it can't be the fit is too small.
I don't know. You have to look at it. So this way, the next month, she hadn't been with her husband, she didn't have to wait, there was no problem with plito, so she could, as soon as she stopped seeing dam, she could start counting her 7 clean days. So if this woman had a 2-day flow, or a 3-day flow, on day 3 she'd make a hefsek, and she'd go to mikvah on day 10, and have a relationship with her husband. She had a relationship, she could have a kid. You pick up a couple of days sometimes. Now, nowadays, it's almost irrelevant because there's no woman who takes less than 4 days, 5 days to get all of her dam out. But in the place, we can talk about this idea. Like, you know, I realize it makes sense because they were very much more regular than that. If you want to have a kid, you know, this and that. You know, nowadays they use medications for it. Baruch Hashem, they have medications which help. You know, they didn't have medications. You want to have a kid, you know, it's worthwhile to skip a month. You want to have a kid. You know. Okay. So this Gemara is not just, you know, a God of the Gemara. There's a tremendous amount of halacha built in this Gemara. Let's see Rashi. I'm not going to get too much more, then we'll get the Rashi's in. What? That's the answer is really based on next the Gemara further. So,
stay tuned.
Yeah. I want you to come back tomorrow. Okay. Okay. We're holding on Rashi Bevav B'chadish, which is the last medium-sized line. Bevav B'chadish Toha Ditziv Vayechaseu Hanon Sheshes Yamim Vaykro Moshe Vayamashi. Now, that's a pasuk in the end of Mishpatim, page 227 over there, it says Vayish Pasuk Kapitel Chavdal and Pasuk Tezayin. Vayishkun Kvod Hashem Al Har Sinai Vayichaseu Anon Sheshes Yamim Vayikra Al Moshe Vayam Hashuv Mitechei Anon. Now, Chachamim say this means that's from Rosh Chodesh till Yom Vav, and Yom Vav Moshe was called up to Har Sinai for the Sinas Torah, right? But Rabbi Yossi says that was going on. I'm sorry, the other round. The Chachamim say that Bavav B'chodesh. It says in Yom Shvi. Rabbi Yossi says this is referring to Matan Torah. That on day 7 he's called up to Har Sinai to give the Torah. It's Rabbi Yossi. So Yom Shvi nitna Torah. What does the Chachamim do with this pasuk? The Moshe Rabbeinu was called up on day 7. He says, no, that's going to be a glibly during Parakam of the Yuma, so you might say, Akra Seres Adibris. This was after Seres Adibris that Moshe Rabbeinu is up on the Har for 40 days. Of the 40 days, he's only called in to whatever that means, the next stage. He's up in Har Sinai and he's called be given the Torah after 7 days, on the seventh day. And Yom Vav is the Sinas HaTorah Karnas HaChamim. Yom Zayin, he goes up and he stays there through Yud Gimel, and on Yud Dalet is when he's only first given the Torah in Har Sinai. Rabbi Yossi Svira laid the Moshe B'chol Yisrael Omnim L'Kabbal Seres HaDibris. So this pasuk is referring to Matan Torah. So what does it mean to call Moshe? Everybody. Moshe was given a special spot to stand b'shas matan Torah. Tzivocha hazeh zelik derishav. Malal and of course yemer hazeh ba'atr shoyom hazchir the same time nemer luhu k'nechsev hazeh. They're told as a leave Mitzrayim. Remember this day, so they're told on the day. Avkan ba'atr shoyom hazchira the Shabbos nemer lem zchars yemer Shabbos. So they're told on Shabbos. Remember Shabbos. So they're told about it on Shabbos. What's the machlokes? Because Kriya Yarech Beis Yom Hukva Chodesh. What day was the day that Rosh was Rosh Chodesh? B'shem Chusu L'Urcha Garsim. The Trei B'Shav Amar Lo B'Tem Tiyoli. That's the Pesukim Rashi says of Moshe. All of Yikra I love Kol Inyan Ad Eilat Dvarim. That's Pesuk Gimel through Vav. That all took place in Yom Sheni. Now, the Dorma Eilan Nemruloi the Machris be awesome. That was told them the next day, the day after they came. How do we know that? How do we know that it was only on the second day? Because Chazal say Kol Al Yosav Bashkama. Moshe always went up to Har Sinai first thing in the morning. So he came on Aleph Sivan. He couldn't go up because he always went up only in the morning. But Philemon de Leslie Bashkama Yored. Even if they tell you he didn't come down in the morning. He didn't. You don't equate Aliyah to Yerida, but everybody agrees. Istu lebashkama alo da behedik sibakra that Mashkei Moshe and he went up. So the Mora says the rule was Moshe always went up Ashkama. always went up first thing in the morning. So he couldn't go up till the Yom Sheni. He was told on Yom Sheni this communication through Pasuk Vav, and he comes down and he tells it to them on Yom Sheni. He goes back up on Yom Shlishi. He came down towards evening. And he told it to Klal, and that was Pasuk Zion. And then the next day he goes back up and tells the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's Pasuk Ches. That's referring to Yom Shlishi in the morning. Because we know he always went up in the morning. So he's told Pasuk Yud Beis, and he's also told Pasuk Tes. And Pasuk Yud Beis and Pasuk Yud Gimel. Now, obviously, he ksuba acher v'kidashta mayem ha-mocher. She mitzvahs prisha. But Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel is after Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph, which is that you should be purged from your wife. She mitzvahs prisha. And that was mitzvahs prisha. But karalachay nemra, it was told to Moshe earlier, even it's written in the pasuk later. How do I know? The ksibah yaliyah shalom b'shlishi lahashal l'kadosh baruch hu yom the nasa. So it says he went. Vayashav Moshe's pasuk tes. He went. He replied, and Moshe replies back with pasuk tes. Ve'yigad Moshe es divrei yom al Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells pasuk tes. Moshe Rabbeinu responds and tells the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Save the Kroba, Yegim Meshach Dibre Yom. Navachima Dibre Yom Yeshkan. So we have a problem. Moshe Rabbeinu already answered in Pasuk Ches, by Yoshev Meshach Dibre Yom. What's the Yegim Meshach Dibre Yom in Pasuk Tes? So Zagrashi, that tells me that there was another round of communication. Means Moshe Rabbeinu came back down and told Kleist or something. Moshe Rabbeinu went back up the next morning and told the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then Vayomer Hashem Moshe Leicha Lo. So that's how we know that there has to be another stage. Now what? Now the next step. Because the Rosh Hashanah says to Moshe in Pasuk Tes, I'm going to come to you and everybody's going to trust you. If there's no command in that statement, what was Kleist going to respond to? So we have to say that the command was, since I'm going to come to you, therefore the har has to be separated out. So Pasuk Yud Beis Yud Gimel have to be a hemshach of Pasuk Tes. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on Yom Gimel, tells Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael says, okay, we're ready to accept that. He goes back up on Dalet and says, Klai Yisrael is ready to accept that. Now what Klai Yisrael really says is, we want, Hinei Bo Eilecha, but versus I'm going to talk to you, right? Klai Yisrael says, no, we want to hear directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu says back, if so, Leicha Lo Mikidash Tama Yom HaMocher, and that's Pasuk, supposedly for the Prisha is here in Yom Dalet. We're not going to finish the Rashi today, but that's how we understand that there was another stage of communications over there, which is not explicit when you look at the proofing, but that's how the more figures it out.